The Notaries Unsealed podcast is brought to you by the Georgia Notary Network and Captivated Notary Marketing Solutions. Coming up on this episode.
Yeah, I'm content where I'm at. I am truly content. I don't need to be some big time notary loan closer.
You know, once you cross over into that realm, it's a different world. There's a whole different expectation.
Real smooth this time. We know the reads unsealed. That's my everyday life.
Yeah.
We know the reads unsealed. Ooh. Every day I hustle out here living it right.
Let's go.
We know the reads unsealed. Put the stamp down and stop in front of the mic.
Here we go.
Took the game over. We home now. We soldiers.
Griff Mathurin and cue the podcast. You can't hold us.
Y'all heard the word. Y'all heard the word.
What's going on, Notary World. Welcome back to another episode of Notaries Unsealed. I'm your host Q. I got my guy with me, Uncle Griff Mathurin. Done left the city, left the state. I don't know where he at right now. He ain't in Massachusetts in front of his computer right now, I can tell you that. What's up, Mathurin? But it's just me and Uncle Griff this week, man.
What's going on, party people? Hey, my microphone should be much better this week.
Yeah,
I don't know what happens. I know. I think I accidentally hit the gain on it, and I didn't realize. I thought it was straight because I was fiddling around with it when I got this new laptop. So I might have accidentally turned the gain down on it and all of that good stuff. But right now, looking at it, yeah, it looks a lot better.
You sound good, man. I'm happy that you were able to get that taken care of.
Yeah. So
hopefully you guys just didn't hear that. So I now have this portable ice maker that's up in my bedroom, and this thing is loud, like, and it just randomly drops ice.
Oh, no, I ain't getting nothing.
It is like the most first world issue to have in the world. Like, I have a portable ice. I have ice in my room. Like, how many people have ice in my room right now?
You talk about me with my 5,000 thread cotton sheets and bamboo sheets and stuff. You got ice makers and stuff. I'm like, man.
Small okay, flex. It's really cool, like, the way that they do it, like, they have like these little rods, and the rods get super cold, which allows them to freeze the ice. So I get a new batch of ice every 10 minutes, and then it heats up just enough to slide off the ice cube. Really
okay.
Cool. I enjoy that portion of it, but it just drops ice at a random time. So sorry about my little rant.
No problem.
Yep, Q's got an ice maker in his room.
And he got an ice maker and a drink. So he just got ice.
Just got ice.
And if y'all happen to hear some noise in the background, my wife's watching game 7, so she's hoping the Heat wins. So don't be surprised if she pops in the room here yelling and screaming because the Heat won or lost.
Yeah, man. I'm pulling for the Heat too. I don't watch the NBA basketball anymore. I think NBA basketball is trash personally. I prefer college or high school. But my godmother is a huge Heat fan. So shout out to Charlene Bedford. I love you. Go Heat. Yeah.
That's all right.
I ain't got nothing else to say on that one. You know, good luck.
So we'll see. I'll probably look at the last game of the finals and stuff. So whoever wins and stuff. So
yeah, I'm not big on the NBA, man. Now we all know how I feel about football. Like that is come on now. One time. To victory. Football season is still going on right now. I know a lot of you guys aren't even paying attention, and we usually don't talk sports on here, but rookie camp just ended.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been reading tea leaves. I'm getting excited. It's almost football season, man.
Yeah. Well, me, I'm excited to see what happens down there, you know, over there in Colorado with my man Deion Sanders. So.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to that. I think I am going to get a Colorado hat. I got to get a black hat for that.
Yeah, I'm not much on wearing, you know, any team gear and everything. And my favorite college football team is Florida State, you know.
Okay.
And I actually got I don't even know where that hat is, but I got a skull cap left over that I got from them.
Skull cap.
And then I got this leather Florida State jacket with the old emblem on it and everything.
Griff, I think you owe Instagram a picture of Griff with his do-rag on.
You know what? I probably can't do that.
I think we need it.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do with that. Shoot. And I actually do sleep with one on my head, even though I got a bald spot, but I sleep with one to keep my head warm because my wife likes it cold in the room and I can't sleep with the cold air.
Yeah, listen, man, my lady's the same way. Like, she likes the fan blowing, like, in the middle of the night. I need to be warm. Like, I need 75 degrees. Like, I'm like a lizard or something like that. I like it nice and warm all year round. When it's hot, I don't care. I want it hot in my room where I'm at. Nope. She got the fan blowing on. It's in the middle of the night. It's all
cold. Oh, yeah. We got fan, AC going. And, one time when we had our AC broke in the house, our AC was broke for 3 years. For 3 years, man. I had so many daggone portable AC units in the house. And somehow, some way, the bedroom had got down to 59. It was so cold in there.
I can't do that.
Yeah, it was so cold in there.
Oh, I'll go sleep outside.
Yeah, and she had
I got a tent, man.
I know. She had the fan blowing. She had, you know, the AC blowing, the fan. And my eyes was all dried. Matter of fact, I sleep with the little eye things on because it dries my eyes out, man. Look, man, I can't.
You got the do rag and the eye cover. You're like a straight up ninja going to sleep.
And I don't like that, man, because I'm the type, I like to be able to look at, you know, look around in the room in the middle of the night, make sure ain't nobody rolling up in there and stuff and everything. So even though I got the house on full lockdown, but it's like, I open my eyes, I'm like, dang, I can't see nothing. Oh, that's right, I got this eye patch stuff on mine.
So wait a second, hold on. Last week we was talking about these lights that you have in your house that go off. You can't even see the lights.
I can't
what
see
sense
nothing.
Does this make, Griff?
I know, man. I mean, yeah. So when it's wintertime, I mean, when it's summertime, she keeps that room cold. And that wind be blowing in there. And I'm like, oh, man. Matter of fact, I have to sleep on my side because if I don't, the wind from the fan blowing down into my throat and my nose dries me out. And sometimes
I have that same problem too with the dry out. But I cocoon myself. So it actually works out well for us because I've always been a cocooner. So it's like she can have the fan blowing and like I'll feel it until I cocoon. Once I cocoon, gotcha. I'm good.
Yeah, so I make sure as long as she's comfortable, I'm good. I'll get in there, turn to the side, make sure. And then, of course, by the time I wake up in the morning, my little do-rag is off the head and the eye patches are gone. So
yeah, you know, I have little mysteries that happen at night too. Like my head pillow ends up in between my legs. My in between the leg pillow is somewhere that I end up finding the next morning. Like how did this happen?
Yeah. Tonight I might sleep with my heavy blanket. If y'all ain't never slept with a heavy blanket, them things are nice.
I
want to
try one of those, man.
I bought one from Walmart. Man, it's like just being hugged all the time.
I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try one.
Yeah, I think I can't remember whether it's the 10-pound or the 20-pound. Might have been the 20-pound one. But boy, yeah, when you lay that on top of you.
I've heard great things about them.
Yeah. Now the one that I really want costs a couple of $100.
Of course it does.
Yeah, the one I really want.
What else does it do, bro?
Well, it has better ventilation because it's actually like a wool sweater.
Bamboo.
Nah. I don't know if it's made. No, it ain't made out of bamboo, but it's all knit, and the weight comes from the material. Whereas with the other heavy blanket, it comes from these little beads, like glass beads and sand or whatever. But I ain't gonna lie, that heavy blanket ain't no joke, man. My wife, she told me I can't put that on her.
Yeah, if she likes it cold like that, that ain't gonna work.
So I'm gonna. I can't justify spending $500 on a heavy blanket. I want to, but I can't. She ain't gonna go for that.
What another man does with his money is his own business. But Griff, you spend $500 on a heavy blanket, man. Like, you're taking bourgeois to a whole new level.
I know. I know, man. Yeah, that one I can't do.
Could you imagine just having a regular conversation with somebody at Walmart and you start talking about your $500 weighted blanket? Like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
I know. And I actually, I'm looking now. Okay, well, they got a knitted one, organic hand knit weighted blanket for adults. Okay, that's $249. All right, I might be able to work with that one. Okay, I might be able to work with that one on Amazon. Okay.
And this is what happens when you spend too much time on Amazon.
Yeah. Okay, it's only 15 pounds. I can work with that. Yeah. Now, I can't ever tell the wife how much I spent on it. So y'all online, don't be diming me out.
Nah, you know what you could do? You can go on Alibaba, right? Because that's where all the distributors get their stuff from.
Oh, man.
Or AliExpress or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might be able to get the same thing.
Okay.
You know they ain't made in America.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. You know you can get it for cheaper somewhere else.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So just, I'm showing Q the one that I want. It's knitted and it has better airflow to it.
Yeah. See, it's almost like a nice rug or a very nice sweater.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Now that one I can deal with.
It ain't organic.
$129, y'all. Okay, so. Oh, man, I'm tempted. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Griff is gonna get like a duvet cover
mm-hmm.
with his $129.
Yeah, now see, I can get this one. She won't be on me too much about this.
That actually looks really comfortable, man.
Yeah, I can. I'm gonna have to save that for later.
Hold on. Just go back. It's called Silk Cocoon.
Mm.
So if anybody's interested in checking this out, it's called Silk Cocoon. Yeah. SILKOKOON. Knitted weighted blanket.
And they only got two left. Oh, snap. I'm about to
be only one.
I'm serious, man. I got that Amazon business account. So I get 30 days to try it out, and then I can send it back. So I got 30 days before I have to pay for it. So I could actually.
Yo, speaking of having 30 days and being able to turn stuff back on Amazon. Hey, if you guys don't have an Audible account, Audible is awesome to listen to books, and you can return them. So you can listen, and there's no time period on returning the books. You can listen to it, return it, and get a credit back, and go get another book.
Mm.
Sounds like a great deal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a great way to listen to some of those business books out there that, everybody's been wanting to read or purchase and didn't read.
Okay, man, you know I didn't realize.
After they're done listening to us, pop in a little Audible book, get some education.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, well, I just put that in my cart, so I'm at least put it in the cart, and I'll figure out whether I'm gonna buy it or not.
How many things you got in your cart right now?
Just one. Now that's Mathern.
Oh yeah, he's a cart hoarder.
Yeah. I don't put nothing in my cart unless I'm absolutely pretty sure I'm going to buy it. And then the thing is, I'll put it in there and then forget.
One of the things that I do with my cart is like when I'm searching between different products, I'll put something in the cart just to keep, instead of keeping like a tab open, I'll put it in the cart just so that way I can start to build a list of the different similar products and be able to go back through them to figure out exactly which one it is that I want.
Oh, okay.
And then I have the prices there right in front of me. I got the delivery. Is it Prime? Is it not? It's just a better way of me making the best purchase for myself. I'm all about the educated purchase.
Yeah. Yeah. Every now and then, I'll put something in the cart and then most of the time I'll forget. I mean, I literally will forget, I'm looking at it and I didn't realize I had some stuff in here for save for later. I'm like, okay. So
Yeah, my save for later is mainly like books. Got a lot of books saved for later. Just like I know I want to get to them eventually, but the information that's contained in them, there's nothing like that I need right now. There's nothing precise. There's not a precise piece of information in them that I want. So it's like, okay, I'll get to you eventually.
Yeah, the only thing I really keep in my, if I put anything quote unquote in the cart to hold on to, is my toner and my drums for my printers. Yeah. You know, matter of fact, I just switched out the drum today. And don't forget, y'all, when you change out the drum on a Brother printer, you got to reset it. Make sure you read the instructions that come with it, and it'll tell you exactly how to reset. Because if you don't reset it, it'll think that you're still at 10% or 18% and tell you to what? Change it again. And then you just have to be told every couple of days to keep changing your drum.
It's kind of like a check oil light. You know, if you've got a modern car that keeps track of how much percentage of oil that you have, when you change your oil, if you don't reset that, if it's not a newer version of the vehicle or a more luxury version of the vehicle, it's not going to reset itself. You have to go into the menu and press reset so that way it knows that, hey, my oil just got changed.
Correct.
Some of those new cars can tell, like if you take like the oil filter off or something like that, they know that the oil change is in process.
Oh yeah. So yeah, but other than that, man, things been going good. Business is coming along fine. I think I'm at about 70 something for the month of May. I got five on the 30th of May. I got five of them, bad boy. Yeah, tomorrow. Five of them. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, I got five. I had one on the day we recorded. Was it Sunday? Monday. Memorial Day. I had one.
And stuff. Yeah, I'm worried about you.
Huh?
I'm worried about you, man.
Why were you worried about me?
Because it took you that long to remember today. And you're like, Sunday. No, Monday. Today's Monday, bro. You forgot what you did today?
Yeah, man, I be erasing that stuff out of my head real quick.
So that's how it's done.
I did good on the money. Look, man, I did good on the money. $7,000 for the month of May.
Hey, get it.
Yeah, so 74 orders, 7,000 I made, and that puts me at about 90-some dollars per order. Okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Hang your hat on that.
Yeah. Yeah, last month was a little weird because I did 65 orders and only made $5,700 and some change. So that was like $89 per order. So this month was some reason much better. Matter of fact, I was doing every Monday through Friday I had an order. And the only reason why I didn't do an order this past, I would be at 75, but I actually purposefully turned down doing orders on this last Saturday of the month because I was tired, and I actually went and took a nap on Saturday. And y'all know I don't be taking no naps.
Griff did take a nap because we're working on something. I hit him up. He was like, oh man, nah, I'm just getting up. And I was like, oh, Griff just got one.
Yeah, I was knocked out hard.
I was happy for you, man. I was happy you got a nap.
Yeah, I was sleeping hard. Sleeping real hard. Oh, and just to give y'all a quick update on Notary Assist, Sue did something real cool. She got it set up to where you can import your orders into the into Notary Assist.
Interesting. How did she set that up? Now, is it import orders from where?
From when you get the confirmation email.
So it's pulling from your cell phone.
Well, what it'll do is you just email her, you forward the email that you got, your confirmation email, you forward it to her and to an email they have called import@notaryassist. And all you got to do is just forward it from the same email that you have the account with her. So like mine is info@griffinnotary. So all my orders come to that. And then I forward it from that email to her import email, and it imports them in there, puts the basic information that it can determine out of your order, and then you just have to fill in some of the other stuff, you know, sometimes the first name, address, all of that kind of stuff. But it helps pull stuff in, and then you can choose to fully import it. So it stages it, so you send it pulls it in, it stages it, and then once you go back into Notary Assist, then you can complete putting it in there.
Now this sounds really cool, and I think it's a great idea. I have a real world question for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and let's call it market research for Sue. I think that's a great idea, and I actually really like Notary Assist. How long do you think that you'll be using that for every single order? How long do you think that you'll remember to do that for every single order?
Well, I'm trying to remember to do it.
Okay.
At the moment, you know, some days, you know, like if it gets busy, I forget. So I have to remind myself to use it. But when I do, man, it makes things a lot easier. I ain't gonna lie to you.
It sounds like it. Okay, yeah. I have another question.
Yeah.
All right, because we're not using until we ask the tough questions. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot what my question was.
Well, so far now, what I would like to see, and it's a pretty cool algorithm because whatever is in there, order number, the name of the person, if there's an address, if there's a phone number, what you got?
No, go ahead. I remember my question.
It'll take that information and just stage it in there, and then, like I said, then you just put it, you know, change it to like the type of work, because a lot of times they don't say in the confirmation, you know, whether it's a HELOC, a purchase, a sale, or whatever. So you have to, you know, add that in there and everything.
Okay, so if you were already using this tool,
mm-hmm.
basically what it does is it's automated that process of going back in and filling in this information into Notary Assist for you.
Correct. And they're working on making it even better from the email that she said in her notes that she has in there. So it'll pull it in there, she said, and then if something comes up that it won't pull in, they take that information and then tweak the algorithm so that it can pull that type of order in for whatever reason what you send them can't get pulled in. Mm-hmm. They will tweak the algorithm to learn from that. And so far for me, everything that I've sent her gets imported in, whether it's something from Signature Closers, Signing Order, or Snap Docs. So I haven't had any problem with those three signing platforms.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So this tool, in order for it to be useful, just like Notary Assist in general, you have to be diligent, you have to stay up to date, and if you're going to use it, use it. Don't try to do half this, half that. Mm-hmm. It'd probably be best to stay on top of it like you should be already for it to be for you to see the fruits of the tool itself. Now, is there an additional charge for this, or is it just all in?
No, it's part of it. There's part no additional charge. Awesome.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That she didn't any additional fees in the past couple of months? Has she raised fees at all?
Nah, no fees, no extra fees or anything.
Good.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Good job, Sue.
Yeah, I mean it's cool. Yeah, I like it, man. I just have to remember to do it. So technically, in all the way I think it should be working is when you get the confirmation email. So you have replied to the thing saying yes, I'm available. You get the text notification saying hey, you've been assigned. You then get a email notification with the details. My goal is, and I'm gonna try to work on this for actually starting this week going forward, as soon as I get the confirmation email, I'm forwarding it to the import@notaryassist.com. So I'll already have it. Then that way, when I sit down in the evening, boom, it's already there.
You know, it would be really nice. The only way to have this happen is if you were consistently getting orders. You may be able to set it up with some of those people that you showed on for the Friday the other day where you have 150, 160 signings with them.
Mm-hmm.
Take their confirmation email address because it's the same all the time and set up a rule within your email. To auto forward it over based off that email address.
The only problem is, like one of the companies, loan pro closers. Every time you get an order from them, they send you like three or four of these emails reminding you, hey, don't forget this and do this and do that. So that's the problem. And then, you know, sometimes when they send you special notes, hey, don't forget this or whatever, because they got all these, this thing now where a lot of the, especially on the signing order, these companies, they're sending you like four and five emails per order. So you get the confirmation, then you get three, four, five reminders. So if you set it up, it would, you know, it'll be auto forwarding frivolous stuff that don't matter.
Right.
That's the only problem, you know, and everything. So I thought about that. I was like, yeah. So yeah, they just sending, they're sending out way too many emails. Matter of fact, man, there's some days I have like 70 emails per day. And the bulk of that is just all of these little extra reminders. Don't forget this, don't forget that. And I'm like, come on. I'm like, I've been with y'all long enough. Y'all know I'm going to do this. Don't forget the scan. Don't forget this. Hey, there's a reminder. Are you going to be on time? And this is from different companies, not necessarily loan pro closer, but are you going to be on time for your order at 4 o'clock? I'm like, can you confirm you're going to be on time? Can you confirm you're going to drop to down?
But let's be honest, you know, there's a lot of talk about automation. We're still in the infant stages of automation. Like, these are things that, these are issues that are not issues, complications of technology that haven't been solved yet. You know, how does a company track, okay, so this person's done 75 signings with us, so let's automatically pull him out of this group of emails.
Correct.
And place him in this batch over here, so that way he no longer receives these things.
And that, yeah, that's been in the back of my head, because I'm like, because then the question becomes, what do I need to do to prove to you that you can trust me, that I got you? And the only thing I think is that if you, you, the signing company, makes, if you make a change in your instructions or, you know, whatever, you need to let me know. Let me know so that way I can adjust. Because if it's like, hey, you know, do this, and you know, I've been doing this for, you know, the last 35 orders for y'all, and then for some reason you change, make sure you let me know before I do the next order, so I don't mess something up and everything. But outside of that, if they haven't changed, then it's like, okay, I know, I get the order, like Signature Excel. I know every single order I have to do a scan back. So I don't need to be reminded to do a scan back, because I already know that every single order, no matter what, scan back. Just like Ronnie with Unlimited Ink. Unlimited Ink. Every single order has to be scanned.
Do you think that notaries should just assume going in that every order should be a scan back, and then be surprised when it's,
if it's not? Yeah, and right now that's where I'm at. I go in there assuming that everything. So every order I scan back, even the one I did today, it doesn't require a scan back, but I'm gonna scan it just to be on the safe side, because stuff gets lost, just to be sure that they don't accuse me of, hey, you didn't do such and such, and I have proof that I actually did. Right. And then once I, like, you know, once I get paid, it's like everything's good. Yep, okay, then I can delete it. But you know, I'm actually now at a point where I'm surprised if it's not a scan back. You know, I'm actually surprised. So I got my two scanners, one here connected to the computer. Then I got my Raven. My brother's connected to the computer. Raven is with me in the car. So if I get to the FedEx or find a Starbucks, do a quick scan, and I'm good to go. Because, you know, things are, you know, these companies, they having high turnovers in people, and these folk don't understand, you know, I mean, like I was telling you the other day, I ain't gonna say the company's name, but I was telling you the other day how there was that miscommunication. I'm trying to tell them something, and they, next thing you know, they pulled me off the order because they misunderstood what I was telling them, but I was telling them correctly, and they thought I was just being difficult.
Do you think that there are folks out there that have started signing services and had the genius idea of saying, I'm going to start a signing service, and then I'm going to go hire a couple virtual assistants to handle the notaries.
Yeah, I think that's really where it's at. I think they have virtual assistants, and with and I've always said this, when you have virtual assistants, or really with these signing companies, not necessarily that they got virtual assistants, they have people working in there that do not understand notarial law or anything about the notarial business, and all they know is they've been told do this, and if they're pure W-2 people, they've been told you will do this and you best not do anything else. You will pay this and you best not pay a dime more.
And that's a, I don't care what the notary says.
Right. You see,
if the notary's kicking back, just find another one. Don't worry about it. Move on.
Right. So that's why when people talk about negotiating fees, it's like you're trying to negotiate fee with somebody who has been told if you go outside of these parameters, you're fired.
Right.
How do you negotiate with somebody who got that level of fear and that intimidation from behind, you know, coming at them from from the boss, the owner of the company, telling them you better not do this. I don't care what the notary says.
And you know what? That's not every signing service, but there are a lot of small signing services out there right now. A lot of people got trained on how to start a signing service and they went and did it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and trying to be big time, and there's nothing wrong, but then they're not ready for the big time.
Right. You know, once you cross over into that realm, it's a different world. There's a whole different expectation of the company, of you as a person, you as a worker, right. You as an owner of a signing company. Things change.
Yeah, things change big time. I mean, I understand. I mean, look, when I added Ron to what I do, things change. When I started adding to do more general notary, things change. So I'm like, of course, things going to change if you are adding in a signing company and now taking on that responsibility, you know, and not everybody's ready for it. And I mean, let's just be real.
It's got to be hard to wear two hats like that, especially for those people that are still doing notarizations but still like trying to build a signing service, because like we said, the priorities and responsibilities of a notary are different than the priorities and responsibilities of a signing service. So being able to wear both hats,
right,
different, special.
Yeah, because as a notary, just as a regular notary, you've been trained and told to do one thing. But then as a signing company, you realize that, okay, that what notaries were trained to do doesn't apply to this, because the title company wants things a lot different way than what we was trained. You know, like one example me and Q was talking about earlier was this reorganizing of the documents. There are a lot of trainers out there that says, oh yeah, when you get them, get the 7 critical documents. And once you get these 7 critical documents, you'll be set, and then you can go through them very, very, very quickly. And I'm like, okay, but if the company who's paying you said don't reorganize, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then I'm seeing signing companies saying this, don't reorganize. And I say, well, why is the signing company saying this? Because people are reorganizing them in such a way that's throwing, I guess, the post-closer off. But why are they reorganizing them? Because somebody out there in the notary sphere has said, this is what you should do, and this is what I do, and my companies that pay me, they love it. They love when I do this. So guess what? You should do it too. And as I was saying before on a clubhouse the other day, notaries are doing stuff that they're being told to do, but the problem is it's only applicable for one or two companies. It's not applicable for every single company. So you've been told to do it over here based off of this, and then you go trying to do something else. Why just poked her head in, all cheered up.
Miami winning.
Yeah, Miami's winning 96-75. Oh, 4 minutes left.
It's in the bag.
Yeah. And everything. And then when you go try to implement what this company said over here with another company that knows better, you get blackballed or blacklisted. Because if you think about it logically, this, your first signing company, they tell you, oh no, this is the way we want it done. You should do it always like this. I've been doing it for 50 years and you should always do your notarizations and do this, that, and the other this way. You go over to this other company, you're thinking, okay, well, everybody does it this way. And the other company's like, what are you doing? What I'm doing? Why are you doing it that way? You should know better. You stepping, you're going way outside of what a notary should be doing. But the other company, we not the other company. We're the company that's paying you now, not them. Yeah. But, and then next thing you know, they're like, you know what? We ain't messing with you no more. Go on somewhere.
You know, and this is why I kind of feel like it's so important to be happy and satisfied with being a notary public.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't, I really do think that that other title that's out there, notary signing agent, it messes up your perspective of what your job is. You know, I think yeah. that people forget the basis of the signing agent portion. And you know, when you think about it, you hear so many people say signing agent, signing agent, signing agent.
Mm-hmm.
You're forgetting the notary part of that.
Right.
You know, and I feel like it's best for us to continue to just be notaries, just be a notary public that just happens to have a streamline into dealing with real estate closing documents, but stay focused and centered on being a notary public that serves its community, because that's why we were given commissions.
Correct. That's the whole purpose of it.
And stay within those guidelines regardless.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's how I came into this business, being told to stay focused on being a notary. All this other stuff, all these other things, you know, I mean, like for me, I'm content where I'm at. I am truly content. I don't need to be some big time notary loan closer.
It's okay to be small.
Right. I'm cool with that. I'm happy because there's a time to be big. There's a time to be small. And sometimes when you're small, you can navigate through financial difficulties or hardships that the economy is going through a whole lot better than if you're big. There's going to come a time for each entrepreneur that they can go big time, but you have to do it smartly. You got to do it correctly, with the right intent, with the right, you know, backing. Make sure your infrastructure is together. And if you can't really handle it, you will blow it up. And then if you go big at the wrong time, and then the economy around you starts failing. You know, if you're trying to go big and depending on all these other people as your source of income, because the moment you move away from doing notarial work and you're depending on products and services to notaries, that's a whole nother beast there. And you're depending on notaries who should be going out and doing closings so that they can have revenue to pay you for your services that you're offering. The problem is a lot of notaries are timid, scared, and not willing to go out there and take a $50 order or $60 right. order, or even a $100 order. So where right. did that person get their money to pay me, Mr. Here's my special group from? You know, where did they get that money from to pay me on a monthly basis, the $49.95 or the $200 or whatever? They got to pull it from their W-2. And that's not good business. That's not right, proper business in the first place. So that's where I see the fallacy right now is that most people are being a notary, but they're really paying for their business completely out of their W-2 money or out of their spouse's W-2 money. And they're not making any money from the business themselves. That's not good. That's not good at all. And that's not sustainable. You know, you're not going to be able to make it.
It's not sustainable. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think more people that are going into entrepreneurship have a love for making money or a love for doing business? They're not the same thing.
No. I think it's more so... I think is more they're trying to make money, but they're trying to make money so that they can have some type of social credit to say that they are of a certain stature now.
Well, most of these people that are, I don't know, lifestyle influencers, they've gotten there and they're able to put it out there into the public that they have these lifestyles by defrauding people.
True. Yeah, they're defrauding people in various different ways.
It's like we were watching that video from JT Pocket Watching.
Right.
And you know, he had this this analogy and he threw it out there and it kind of hit me when he said it. I was like, this is hilarious because we see this all the time. But it's like somebody having, you know, the winning lottery ticket and saying, here, pay me a small fee and I'm going to give you a piece of this winning lottery ticket.
Yeah. They already got the lottery. They already got the ticket, but they want you to pay them to have access to some of the money.
Right.
But they're never going to give you the money.
Never going to give you the money.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're never going to give it to you. And I think people are looking to be important. And that's why they want... They're
buying dreams. It's hoop dreams, man. It's what college coaches sell... You know, young athletes in high school, they're selling them dreams.
That's the thing, man. I mean, most people, what I'm seeing is that a lot of people who are trying to be in this entrepreneur space, they're not happy with the first stream of income. I'm not going to say one stream because it sounds like I'm saying you can't have they're not satisfied with the first. Because in order you to have even two, three, or four, you got to have your first.
Got to have your first vehicle. Vehicle is a notary.
Your first stream of income, your first entrepreneurial opportunity, you're doing it. And before you even really get good at doing it, you're not happy because you're like, I'm not big enough. I need to be on a grander scale. The problem I have with that is that when you was in your W-2 job, never did anything on a grand scale.
Right.
You only did things within the confines of what they told you. You never stepped outside the box. And if you did step outside the box and they got upset with you, you didn't leave the job and said, well, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to just start my own. You didn't. You stayed there.
Now, that's a big thing right there.
So you tried to get outside the box. But they said, smack, smack. What are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry.
And then you
acquiesce and you like, mm-mm. Because you have an idea, you know you can do this, and either you're going to start your own or you're going to stay with where you're at. And most people will stay where they're at. And then what they do a lot of time is find something that is opposite of what they're doing, i.e. the notary. And now they're acting like, well, okay, I'm this big guru in the notary world, but you ain't never done half of what you should be doing in the notary world, and now you want to be a guru. But the area that you really are a true expert in, which you could probably make 10 times more money with, you won't step out on faith and do that.
Right.
So you're trying to do it in the notary world. And I honestly believe there are men and women out here who are using this notary business as a way to validate themselves and to make themselves feel special, to make themselves feel, you know, accomplished or have some type of value because where they're at in their life with family, job and everything else, they're not getting that same validation. And with the notary world, a lot of people will give you kudos and throw you on their shoulders as the champion if you can claim that you're making $10,000 a month. If you're claiming that I only do 5 signings a month and I make $20,000, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
that's what people is like, oh, wow. And then they give you all these accolades. You're the greatest. You're the best. You're this, you're that. And that's what some people want. I've been around these people and I can pick it up from them. I'm like, you need validation. You really need validation.
Thank you for saying that, Griff. It's about time somebody said it.
That's look. There's men and women in this business. They need validation. They need validation that they are somebody special, that there's somebody of stature, there's somebody who has value, because where they are at with the people around them, they don't get that. Case in point, I went to Captain D's. I love Captain D's. So go over to Captain D's.
Hold on. We got people that listen to us around the country now. What's Captain D's?
Oh, Captain D's is a, that's right. That ain't everywhere. Captain D's is a fish place where you can get some fish. You got Long John Silver's like and Captain D's.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's like Long John Silver. Actually better. Mm-hmm. Much better.
They got better hush puppies?
Angry, you know what? I won't mess with the hush puppies if they got onions in them. Gotcha. So I think Long John puts onions in them. Captain D's doesn't. So I'll eat Captain D's hush puppies. And so now what I do like is hush puppies with corn in it. I don't know why.
Yeah, they're not bad with corn in it. It adds like a little bit of sweetness to them.
Yeah, I like them with corn, but the onions, ain't hopping on the onion. But I went into Captain D's, and there was this real nice young lady there. You can tell she probably maybe 17 years old, 16, 17. I think she's about to graduate. And I really think I want to do this. I think I want to buy some books for her. You know, the Atomic Habits and The Mindset, and then from Barbara Dweck, and then from Brian Tracy, The No Excuses, and give to her, because she's a very nice young lady. But she was talking about how in her family life, it's hectic. It's really, really, and she said, I can't wait to graduate. And she wants to be a tattoo artist.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I said, I want to do something for her. So I said, you know what? I think I'm going to order those three books, and I'm going to just take a trip over there every now and then, maybe a couple of, and if I see her, just because that's all I have to give her. I'm like, just give
her
this.
There's a really good tattooist book. I know a little bit about this. Really good tattoo book. I'll send it over to you on Amazon.
Okay.
It breaks down the fundamentals, technique, everything.
Gotcha.
That'd be a helpful book. It's a little pricey. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. If you feel like being a good Uncle Griff, you know, that might be a little outside of her price range.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, purchasing a book for herself, that'd probably be a really good book for him.
And the reason what drew me to her is that being a young kid, she wasn't disrespectful to me as an older gentleman. She sat there and just had a conversation. You know, I run across young kids all the time, and they act like they can't part their lips to you because you're older than them. And I'm like, y'all forget that one day you're going to be my age. You know, it ain't like you're going to be the little PYT forever. You know, like 10 years from now, you still going to be this here. You know, 10 years from now, you're going to have like maybe 4 or 5 chins.
Well,
you're going
to be bald. If you let politics tell it, they can identify as whatever they want to when they get older.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, so she was very, very respectful, you know, and when people treat other folk with respect, you know, I take notice of that. So I said, I'm going to do something for this young lady. And I figured, I said, from what I've learned with business, you got to have the correct habits. You got to have the right mindset and you got to be, you know, and you got to be willing to go out here and just fight for it. So I said, you know, and have no excuses. So I said, I'm going to get her those three books and give them to her. Because I said, though, if she gets that down into her system, that'll help her to overcome. Because plus she's small in stature. So I guarantee you people probably going to look down upon her.
Right.
Because of her small size. And I said, she needs to have courage. She needs to have encouragement and everything. So I'm going to do that for her. You know,
I hope you do, man. That's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. So, but with the notaries, they have every opportunity. These people have every opportunity to do what they need to do. They just got to get their head in the game and start where they're at. Be okay with being small for now. And being small could be 2 years. It could be 10 years.
There's nothing wrong with being small.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's advantages to being small, you know, especially if you're trying to connect. If you've got a small community, stay small. Mm-hmm. Let, you know, stay active in your community, and you can live well.
And that's, well, if you think about it, and this is what I had to do for myself. I had to ask myself years ago, the doubts and the understanding that I have about whatever, where did it come from? And what I realized is that it came from other people saying things.
Right.
And they have the right to say these things, but is what they're saying really who I am? Does it really fit me? And I was like, well, no, it doesn't. So, okay, I need to do what? I need to decide whether I'm going to live off of what they say or what I believe in myself.
Hold on, Griff, I have a great question for you.
Yeah.
What is the top of the notary mountain?
The top of the notary mountain.
You know, everybody wants to be the top 1%. They want to push their level to the next, their business to the next level. What is the top of the mountain? Where are they, what are they aiming at?
What they're aiming at is not being a notary. Because...
Ah, okay. Got you.
To me, the top of the notary mountain would be you as a notary to some, I want to say fully, but may not be always full, but to a high level and degree that you understand the role and responsibility of a notary in accordance with your state law, and you can actually help other people who decide to become a notary to obtain that knowledge and execute it properly so that they can support their state government in making sure that people who are in the state, whether residents or visiting, get documents, get the signatures on documents notarized properly. To me, that is the top of the notary game.
What is everybody else talking about then?
It is not the selling of the books, the tapes, the conferences. You can have those, they have their place, but to do those consistently and effectively, you for the most part, you end up moving out of doing notarial stuff. And you move away from even understanding and knowing your own, knowing notarial law, because you're more focused on those things, you know, though. And there's nothing wrong with writing books. So I'm not talking about that somebody shouldn't write books. Write a book. There's nothing wrong with that. But in my opinion, the book has to cover every book. There should be in every book a chapter on how to properly notarize documents. Something that's pertaining to that, helping people to understand the importance of understanding and knowing their state law. Some type of resource that points them back to that. Something that leads them back to that, because without that, you cannot be a successful notary, because not everybody's going to sell books and other trinkets. Somebody has to do the daggone work of a notary. So all these people moving away from it, it's still what I think Laura Brewer said, like a billion notary assignments that are being done a year. So if that's the case, who's doing them? If everybody's moving away from doing that, it still needs to get done. There's still mortgages. Everybody talking about they want this real estate boom. Okay, the real estate boom comes back. How many people are going to actually do the notarizations of these mortgages? And it's going to be few, because some people are like, well, I ain't doing it because they ain't paying me enough. Well, it's only 17 pages.
I'm just trying to figure out what the top, what the next level is.
I don't understand this
whole, let's push your notary business to the next level. What is the next level? You can't go anywhere higher than being a notary public. What's the next level of pushing your notary public business? You could please tell me.
From the as the business, it would have to be, like I said, properly educating other people in what being a notary is.
But that's not being a notary. Educating your customers, now that's a difference. If you're looking to be a difference maker there, educating your customers on what a notary actually is, what they're actually doing when they're getting a document notarized, okay, that's not taking your business to another level. That's just educating your customer about what it is that they're actually doing.
Well, I'm talking about educating other notaries.
That's not taking your notary business to another level. Now you've started another entity.
Correct. But being a notary itself, and see, you can only handle but so much business.
Right. There's only one of you. So if you're going to go to the next level, what's the next level? Starting a signing service? Okay, so we already covered that. Now you're jumping into a whole different arena. So what is the next? How do you push your notary business to the next level? I'm not understanding this marketing scheme.
Well, they're saying they're including that as a part of being a notary.
It's not.
I know. It is not. Being a notary is being a notary because you don't have to see. Here's the thing. You don't have to be commissioned as a notary to do any of that other stuff.
Correct.
So in other words, if what I'm doing, whatever I'm doing, it has to be within the confines of, I can't do it unless I'm commissioned. If what I'm doing, I can do without being a commissioned notary, then it's really not being a notary. That's the way I look at it. So what can I do?
That's how I see it too.
Right. So can I, the only thing I can see is just getting other areas, say, get a good quality number of estate planning people, reverse mortgage people, you know, you got your lenders and stuff, you know, that need you as a commissioned notary. So you have, to me, to push your business to the next level would be, okay, as a Ron notary, I'm now working for estate planning people outside of my state. People outside of my state, because they have customers who need what I offer, who need, you know, things notarized, but they're in my state or they're in another state and that state doesn't do remote online notarization and I can. So that would be really expanding my business to be able to provide that to estate planning and people of that nature who aren't in my physical state and they need that for their clients who are not in the same state with them. And they'll accept it being done online.
So let me ask
that
you a question.
I can see.
Let me ask you a question. I'm full of questions. Okay. So let's say that is the case. I have multiple estate building clients, multiple real estate clients to be their preferred notary because you know how they like to do things.
Mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like, how can I get my business in line with a W-2 as quickly as possible?
How can I get it in line with a W-2?
Well, not how can you get, let me rephrase that. It sounds like it's trying to take the entrepreneurial journey of being a notary and take that role and align it with a W-2 position with another company. As in, I'm their preferred person, I'm their notary, I'm their go-to person. Now I might have a contract with them.
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to contract myself out to them to be their preferred notary because here's how they like it done and I do it the right way. So you're working with them, but really you're going back into that W-2 mentality. You're not a maverick. There's no mavericks in the notary business.
I'll follow you.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like if that's what pushing your notary business to the next level is, are you really out for this entrepreneurial journey? Or are you trying to make money on your own just so that way you can get back into corporate America?
Yeah, and I think there are people who would prefer to be in corporate America. But because things got a little dense and tight and not so fun, they switched over to this.
Like you run over here just to try to run back
right
at a different level with a different mm-hmm. level of respect. I think
Correct.
That's where it is, and that's what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. I mean, most people want, isn't, and I'll be honest, I'm not saying that I don't want respect and all this, that, and the other. But if nobody recognizes or acknowledges what I do and what I contribute, whether, you know, I'm okay with that, because where I really want my contributions to be recognized and appreciated is with my family first.
Right.
If I get it from there, then I'm good. And that is what holds me tight and keeps me grounded and level for when I do stuff, say, within the notary world, and nobody wants to give me credit for things that I've said. So just like I made the prediction that they were going to change the requirements, I kept telling notaries to stop acting this way, because they're going to change the requirements. They upset the signing companies and title companies and lenders, and they're going to change the requirements. And sure enough, that's what they did. And on the live the other night that I had, there was two people that got up there and said that people are telling them you got to have between 80 and 200 signings before they mess with you. And I was like, this is what I was telling y'all. So do people give me credit for saying that? No. Mm-mm. But I'm the only one who was saying it, and now that it has come to fruition, you know, this is what's going on, and everything. So, and there's other things that I've made, you know, comments on and statements on and little small predictions, and a lot of the stuff is coming true, because if you sit back and really think and look at it, and if you got the experience, you could sort of figure out, okay, if this is happening over here, plus this is happening over there, it all equals to this is about to happen right here.
Right.
You know, it's like understanding human nature. Your actions over here is causing these people over here to lose money. They about to make some changes so they can stop bleeding money and start recouping that money back. Well, what change can, well, first of all, what is the issue? Well, this is the issue. How do you fix that? Well, here's one way to fix it, and boom, that's what they did. So if I could figure it out, and I'm not even a signing company, don't you think they can figure it out? Absolutely. And most people are like, well, no, they're not. And then next thing you know, I can't even get any orders. Why? Well, they said I gotta have 150 signings under my belt. Boom. You know, so the pinnacle of the notary business, where have you, not to be put in jail, do things right. That's the pinnacle. I mean, and I don't fault for people for doing all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I think they need to call it what it is. Hey, I'm no longer a notary or operating as a notary. I'm an entrepreneur that is doing things. Matter of, you know, be based off of, now then the question becomes, do you even have experience as a notary? If the answer is yes, okay, maybe dig a little bit deeper, talk to me about that. If it's no, I'm going to be very leery of you, because you don't have the same experiences and viewpoints that I have. You're just trying to get your bottom line met, which is you're trying to make money.
Yeah, there's no skin in the game.
Right. There's no skin in the game at all. So it's like, okay, and I don't disqualify that they won't come up with something of value to say or something that can help notaries out, but I still have to question, you know, like, okay, if I get into a conundrum of I need to really follow my notary laws on this here assignment because this is the right thing to do, will you back me, or will you say no, do what they say because they paying me in order to pay you? Where is their allegiance going to be? Because you have a hard time with notaries sticking to the law. It's going to be doubly hard, triple, if you have somebody who's a business owner within the notary sphere and they have no experience as a notary. They're not going to be that willing and understanding and compassionate to even know how to support you or know that what you're doing, you're telling me to do this wrong, is putting you, signing company owner, at risk also.
Right.
You might not be stamping it, but you're sitting here facilitating the illegal notarization. You're saying, well, nah, don't worry about it. His mama can be his witness. No, she can't. She can't be the witness on the property in Florida. It says that. Well, it's okay.
Right.
You know.
you know, I asked these questions and, you know, I really wanted to have this conversation, not to speak negatively. This isn't a negative conversation. What it is, though, is a dose of reality. And let's call things what they actually are. But stop being mystified because certain people have done certain things and they seem bigger and larger than life. Right. They're normal people like everybody else. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's call it what it is. There's a difference between going the entrepreneurial route.
Right.
And saying that I'm just going to be a notary. If you're going to be an entrepreneur. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm an entrepreneur. Griff's an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But call it whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're pushing. Let's call it what it is. We're not trying to offend nobody. Let's just be honest about it so that way people understand this is what I'm getting.
Yeah. That's the big thing, you know, because people are starting, you know, after looking at that thing with JT, the Pocket Watcher, and then they got Orlando Miner on his channel where he was talking about how he, I think last year or no, 2 years ago, he said almost 2 years ago, he talked about the real estate, all these real estate gurus on YouTube and was exposing them. And sure enough, now all of that is coming to fruition that, okay, yeah, these guys, they not really, they're just making money off of taking your money. They're not really actually making money in real estate, you know, just like the alleged thing going on with DJ Envy and some dude named Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of years ago, I picked up that DJ Envy was going to start pushing real estate. The reason why is because people was getting on him about his kids being in a private school. Right. And then he was talking about, well, I'm making my money through real estate, this, that, and the other. And the way he said it back then, I was like, oh, he's laying the groundwork to do something in real estate and start trying to get other people involved. I was like, because he was saying, yeah, this guy was showing me how to do it. And I guess it's the Caesar guy, allegedly is this Caesar guy. And now full circle, all of this. So all of this. So I'm like, okay, they got these alleged scams going on and they're not delivering on what they claimed that they would deliver on. And see,
hold on, Griff. Yeah. I want you to continue. But so let's give a little backstory. So they would hold conferences.
Yeah.
Right. They would hold conferences and bring in special speakers to talk about real estate and give them 15 minutes. And you'd have people paying
about $97 or a little more than $100.
A little bit more than $100 to attend the events. To be taught something, but they would only give the speakers 15 minutes.
Right.
20 minutes. 30 minutes. Even 30 minutes. But that's all that they had to teach somebody. So,
and that's not enough time.
That's not enough time. Just trying to put that out there as you guys pay attention to what's going on in the notary business. A lot of conferences with speakers, limited time. Exactly what is it that they are teaching you?
Correct. And that's the thing, you know.
Oh,
so,
man, they're going to hate.
But, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, this is what's going on. It's not even, I mean, because even if a person never said anything, it's still happening. Right. And that's the thing, you know, it's like, and here's what I've learned. There are people who see the tomfoolery that's going on, but they don't have it within them to say anything, or they're not necessarily sure because everybody else is acting like it's not. So they see it. And then when somebody mentions it, like, yeah, I see that too. And when my son was doing gymnastics, they saw things. Me and my wife saw stuff. They're like, wait a minute, something ain't right here. And then there would be, and I would, like, people say, you okay, Griff? I'm like, well, I'm just trying to figure this out. It seemed like
you get a whole lot of well, this is just the way it is.
And and with some group of people that would, but there will always be one or two that would be like, hey, psst, Griff, come here, I saw it too. We've been here for 3 years and we've been wondering about that. And I'm like, okay, saying to myself, y'all been here for 3 years and y'all never said anything. Because, and that's when I started learning, there's people, some people, that's their personality. not to say anything because they don't want to, like JT said, they want to be always seen as a good person. And because they want to be seen as a good person, they are not going to do anything to rock the boat. They're going to just go along with it and hope they make it out unscathed. And if they do, then fine. But then they never warn the next people. They just let the next group of people come in and they also get taken advantage of.
Well, and also because sometimes they just want the association. The association alone makes them feel prestigious.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where that validation comes in, that social credit, all of that. So,
like, I'm going to be a part of this group and I'm going to be in these clubhouses or on these
Facebook
events or on these Zoom calls. And the only reason I'm doing it is so that way I can say that I was a part of that.
Correct.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was a part of that live. Oh, I can talk to them whenever I want to. They're so helpful. Mm-hmm. But you're still asking the same questions.
Look, what's going on right now in the notary world? People are saying that they need somebody to help them. We know that. I wish there was somebody that can help me. I wish there was somebody I could talk to. So I put myself out there and say, hey, you can give me a call. Here's my number. Give them my Google Voice number. Give me a call. Email me at notaryhelp@griffinnotary.com. And when you email me, I always say this, put your phone number in there so I can contact you back. Over 90% of the people who contact me don't put a phone number in there.
They don't want that real. They just want you to pat them on the back and tell them.
Right, they just want me to type a quick answer back to them. And I'm like, sometimes what they're asking it actually requires a conversation. A little bit more of a conversation, because I know that there's a 99% chance they're dealing with something that they heard from somebody else. And then they ask me and they hope that I would give them a straight answer. But I know in my gut that, okay, there's more to what you're asking me. You're asking me something. And especially when you tell me you took these people's courses, I'm like, why do you have to ask me for this information when you should be getting an answer from them? I said, you know, and that's why I have a conversation to really find out where people are at. But here's what's really happening. People say they need help. And I say, okay, Griff will help you. Give me a call if you need help, stuck on something, get your first assignment. Very few people actually will reach out to me when they get that first assignment. Now, they know I've said it. They've heard me. They got my contact info, but they won't call me. They won't email me. They won't text me saying, hey, I got my first assignment. Very few people do. Or say, hey, I need some help with this before I go out. Very few do, if any, to be honest right now. But when I do get a phone call, it's after they've already done the signing. And then they found out they made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're asking me, what do I do to keep from getting blacklisted? I said, what you should do to keep from getting blacklisted, you should have took the order and did it right the first time and, you know, and called me so I could help you. Well, yeah, I know you could. I know you said that, but I didn't think you would.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. You're busy.
And I'm like, but I keep telling you and I keep giving you example and I keep telling you that I'm talking. Well, yeah, I just didn't think you would talk to me. Who are you that I should turn down? What have you done to me that I should turn you down? See, this is where that internal, that voice in your head and in your heart is saying, I'm not worthy to have this guy Griff speak to me. I want him to speak to me and I'm going to email him, but I'm not going to give him my phone number. And there's people, and if y'all look at my comment section,
you know what it is, Griff.
What?
You know why they don't call? Because they know what you're going to say. And that's why they won't call.
Because I've seen it in my videos.
they know that you're going to tell them, get out of your head, get out there and get to work. What is it about the notarial process that you don't understand? Tell me. Let's talk about it right now. They know that they're going to get the answer that they want to hear, and they're scared because they should have known.
Right. If they've been listening to my videos, and then what's even, you, this here is what really gets me. There are people who reached out to me via the YouTube, the chat, you know, they'll make a comment and I say, okay, give me a call. Here's my number.
Or when he says on the YouTube,
On the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
On the YouTube. So they won't even, and I say, give me a call. They won't call me. Now they got this question. And sometimes I don't answer those questions because honestly, the answer requires more than just typing. And yes, I'm busy, but I'm not too busy that I can't talk to somebody. I'm sometimes too busy to stop and sit here and think of a couple of paragraphs to sit here and type and make sure, okay, and make sure that I'm covering all the bases. And the reason why I like to talk to people, because then I get to hear their voice, I get to hear their inflection, I get to hear what's in their heart and their tone.
Yeah.
And it helps me to understand where they really are at.
No, I mean, I'm the same way when I'm doing stuff for Captivated. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. I want to see the excitement. I want to see how you're saying what you're saying. I want to see it, because if I'm designing something for you, all of this is emotional. There's an emotional attachment that comes to something that's being designed. So, you know, having those conversations, communicating through email is not beneficial when you're in a people business. Like, it's good for quick communications, but sometimes you really just need to talk.
And a lot of people don't want to do that. And they sit there and ask me questions. And some of the questions require a lot more discussion. So what I do is I tell them, I say, give me a call so we can discuss. Here's my number. And I hear nothing from them. So, and then I end up really, don't answer, because every night, the only time I get into long paragraph typing on YouTube, not the YouTube, but just YouTube, is when somebody's coming at me, and then I really go in on them and I break it down. But other than that, it's like, you know, that's why last couple of videos I did was somebody asked a question. I went head on and just did a video to answer it. It was simple enough. I said, you know, instead of trying to type, let me just talk and answer, because I want y'all to hear and feel my emotion and get a sense of what I'm even believing, what I'm saying. So, and it helps me, because sometimes, as y'all know, I go down these rabbit holes, I start getting thoughts, and it's like, okay. And then I can cover things, and sometimes I just can't communicate that stuff well in email. But I look at it as this: if you for real, and I say this is the best way to contact me, you will. And I don't see what's so hard about having a audible conversation with another person, because if you, most people say, well, I know you real, Griff. I know you ain't about trying to take advantage of anybody. So then let's have a talk. And a lot of people don't want to talk to me, and I'm like, okay, fine. Then they get upset. They think I ain't trying to answer their questions, but you're the one who needs the question answered. You're coming to me on and want me to take time out, and I will take time out, but I need it to be done in this way so that I can be most efficient in what I'm doing. That, and see, most of the time when I'm talking to people, it's in between orders or while I'm doing like 4 or 5, house inspections.
No, that's, I know, man. You'll answer the phone sitting at the table if I call, and you'll be like, what's up, Q? I'm in the middle of the sign. I'm like, all right, quick, call me back.
Yeah, and I take a feed, you know, a read off of the people. Now, okay, now if it's like, if I text you back in a sign, and then it's like, okay, the people don't seem too cool with me answering the phone.
Right.
You know, but if it's people that's mellow and just chill, okay, I pick up the phone. Hey, what's going on? Because I know you might have something in there. And if I say, hey, you know, in a closing, text me if it's something related to, you know, Notorio. And I tell them is, you know, I say, hey, I'm a, you know, I help notaries out, so I might have to take a phone call.
All right, but so hold on a second, Griff. All right, as somebody that communicates with Griff on a regular basis, if you're interested in talking to Griff, let me tell you how to do it. Get his number, call him.
Yep. 757-797-5432. And I put my Google voice number out there just in case there's some creepy people.
Yeah, just call him. Either he'll answer or he'll quickly decline the call, which the only time he's ever done that ever does that is if he's at the table and he'll send back a nice polite text message that says I'll call you right back, which Griff, you really don't need to do. Like I get the point, okay? You know, but that's what Griff will do, and he will get right back to you. That's all you gotta do. He'll take time to talk to you. He's in the car all the time driving around.
I'm in the car all the time, and when I'm in between closings, that's the best time, and I will call a person and I'll talk to them. And the people who actually do it, they really benefit from that time. And I actually benefit because I actually learn stuff from them. That's what I mean. That's why we're supposed to be able to talk to one another.
I mean, that's how our friendship started, Griff. I took the initiative. Once I heard that we had the same birthday, I was like, man, I gotta talk to this dude. And I called you. We spoke, I think, the first time for a couple minutes, and the next time we talked for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then it just became a regular conversation. Griff, what about this? What do you think about this, Griff? How about if I try this? And this is when I came up with the whole using the buyer's copy and moving all of those documents instead of taking all the documents. I have to go back to the signing service that they told you don't move, using the other copy to make sure that the signers saw all the numbers that they needed to do while I was getting set up, just in case there was issues with the numbers before we even started. We could address them, and the signer's copy that goes back to title was never touched during that time. And I didn't have those issues that some of you guys are running into when it comes to, well, I gotta put the documents in this order, blah, blah, blah. No. There's no need to do that. You have a whole nother copy of papers that are only gonna be set up in somebody's closet, and they'll never look at them again unless they go into foreclosure.
Yeah, that is correct. And I do that consistently, and I'm gonna tell you, it has truly been a blessing, benefit, whatever you wanna call it. I'm like, yeah, this is right on time. This works.
Yeah, so, use it as a tool. You know what I mean? It becomes a tool. And now when you have to print out two copies, it's not, oh, I have to print out two copies and it's 300 pages. It's, I have to print out my other tool that's going to assist me to make sure that this signing goes quickly.
That is it. That's all it is. And that's what, and that's exactly what I do. I mean, that's exactly what I do. Look, if y'all need help, there's help available. But then here's the big thing, and Q, I know Q knows this. It's the execution after you get the answers. So to me, the top of the notary game right now, or at least the halfway point of it, to get to whatever you think is the top, is your willingness to execute. If you're unwilling to execute, you're not even gonna get at the base of the mountain. You're never going to get to the base of them. You're still going to be sitting in your house thinking about executing. Once you start executing and going out and doing things, then you will see that, oh, okay. And you get closer and closer to the base of the mountain, because moving up the mountain is nothing but a series of you executing as properly as you can. Oops, I made a mistake. I missed this little grab point. Okay. Don't do that again. Let me start all over. Okay, I know not to grab here, grab there. Let me use my carabiner or this, that, or the other. Let me make sure I have the right type of carabiner and everything. Whatever. But you gotta at least try to execute. And there's so many individuals who have notary commissions that will not even try.
I mean,
they just won't.
Execute is the number one word. You know, if you go on the Captivated website, go to the about us page, right? You guys can go check it out. I hope to see some traffic just so you can see exactly what I'm saying, because I've never changed it. This is what I wrote when I wrote the initial about us section. The very first sentence says, we execute, period.
Right.
That is the entire job of Cap. Whatever it is that you hire me to do, I am going to execute. If nothing else, the job will get done.
And that's what I had to figure out for myself. You know, and amazing enough, what the person who made me really think about that was LeBron James.
Yeah.
I know you don't like it.
Could have been somebody else. I mean, it's not like LeBron James is the one who could put anybody else, but it was freaking LeBron.
Well, here's the thing.
Hold on real quick before you go into it, just so everybody's clear on where I stand. We have already seen the greatest player. Name is Michael Jordan. Continue, please.
All right. I will say Will Chamberlain. He the one that got the most champions. Well, I mean, you know, I would. Bill Russell.
Okay, so, but here's the thing with those guys, right? All right. Just amazing achievements. Will Chamberlain was definitely a force to be reckoned with, right?
Mm-hmm. Bill Russell. 100%
agree with that. I would never take anything away from them. But what I will say is, who were they playing against?
Some top quality guys back then.
That's what we're going to call them. Okay, moving on.
So, what was I going to say? I forgot.
LeBron James execute.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what made me realize was that I don't know, it was just something when he was doing that thing with going to Miami. And it sort of clicked in. I said, you know what? Oh, he made a statement like when they was burning his jersey and stuff. And he was like, well, y'all still got to get up and go live life the next day.
Right.
And I was like, yeah. And I said, you know what? This man has done what it takes to get to where he's at, to make the decisions that he's making, whether we care for him or not, whether we like the decision or not, whether we understand it. And I said, and I can't be mad at him. I said, I can't be mad at any man. And even when I started reflecting back on other athletes and movie stars, and I said, all of these people made some type of sacrifice to go out there and execute what they felt they believed in themselves to be able to do.
Yeah.
And they accomplished it. I can't be mad at them because they made the sacrifice. The question is, am I willing to make the sacrifice? And then the bigger question, am I even in a position to make that sacrifice? And I said, well, I'm not 6 feet such and such. I don't have basketball skills, so I can't even make the sacrifice and the commitment that any of these ball players have made to get to where they're at.
I got something for that, Griff.
Them being millionaires, I can't be mad at them because they did what they... I said, however, there's a level of execution and there's a level of skills that I have and commitment that I have that I can do at my level and be just as successful and happy. Maybe not dollar wise, but in the practicality of the fact that I'm not sitting on the sideline just a hoping and a wishing and a praying. So that's when I say, you know what? Let me figure out what I need to do to execute and to move forward into whatever it is I want to do, which means I got to now figure out what I want to do and go do it irregardless of what anybody thinks about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. What you got, man?
You know, one of the things that I kind of realized being a fan, you know, I'm a fanboy over the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I had to stop and ask myself this question one day. You know, I'm a fan of these guys. What makes me a fan? You know, there's certain players where, you know, I follow them on Twitter and I read up on, you know, websites and articles and stuff like that. You know, it's really the work ethic that they put into their craft, that becoming better.
Yeah.
You know, I see what they're doing in the off season. You know, it's how they present themselves in public, what they do for the city and the community. You know, making sure that they've got a clean image, being inspirations and whatnot. And, you know, there's also things bravado and everything. So I assessed that and I said, you know what? Would these guys be fans of me at what I do? Mm-hmm. Do I have the work ethic that somebody could be a fan of? Think about that.
Yeah.
You know, what I do during my off season, during my down times, would somebody be a fan and get excited to say, oh, look, he's taking a course right now. He's getting better. Wait till he comes back after this course. What is he going to be able to offer?
Mm-hmm.
right? Come game day, did I come through and execute my game plan? You know, that's how I approach my projects. You know, so even though on a much smaller scale, I still look and say, okay, these people that I'm fans of, would they be fans of mine? And if not, then there's something wrong with me.
And that's all. That's all. I mean, once I realized that, I said, you know what? I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure I'm executing what I can. I said, that's all I'm gonna do. I said, that's all I know to do. And I'm not gonna worry about anybody else. I get it. People not gonna understand, they're not gonna agree with why I do what I do. You know,
I mean, just look at actors. Look at actors. Yeah. How many stories are out there of actors that do crazy method acting? You seen what happened with the dude from Batman. Like, he lost his mind because he went into such a, he committed to a role so much that he lost himself. Right? We don't celebrate mediocre actors and actresses except for Jennifer Lopez.
Right. Yeah, I just saw that movie on Netflix and she's, well, that thing.
She's horrible. Yeah. But as a whole, we don't celebrate the mediocre people. We don't celebrate the people that don't really put into the craft. People love Leonardo DiCaprio. People love Ben Affleck's friend. I mean, people like Ben Affleck too, but they don't love him. They love Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Right? They love Denzel Washington. They love Don Cheadle. Right? Because these people have dedicated themselves to executing the role that they're playing, and we believe them and we get so involved in them. We love their characters. We wouldn't have gotten that had they not executed what they set out to do. It's the same thing in this notary business. It's just a different business, but it's the same model. Just go out and execute.
Yeah. That's it, man. I mean, party people, I don't know what else you need to know, hear, or be told. I don't know. I mean, just got to be mindful of who you're listening to. Just know that you need to vet people. Make sure that they got your best interests at heart. You know, somebody's sincere and they're willing to help you, you know, take them up on that. But again, if the person who you paying is not able to help you and not willing to help you, that's a problem. And I get more people contacting me, and I'm not saying this to say don't contact me, but I get more people contacting me after they done paid somebody all this money and they're not getting an answer.
Here's another thing about that.
And
too.
I don't get hold on why you're what go for it.
Because I know you're not selling anything right now. I am. So here's one of the things that I'll tell you. When you're paying somebody for something, be ready to receive what they give you. Be ready to receive what you're paying for. All right, because a lot of these people, they can't perform unless you do your part as well. Show up. Be ready to learn something. And I can guarantee you that if you're ready to do your part, and you've vetted the right people, you've made the right decision on who to go get training from, you're not going to continue to need additional training.
Yeah.
You're not going to need it because you chose the right person. They trained you on what it was that you asked to be trained on. Save yourself some money. And I know what to tell you guys. Tune in next week. Hopefully, the three of us are back together. Griff, you got anything else to say?
Nah, man. I'm chill. Right.
Hey, guys. Love you. Like, love your business. We're out of here.
We know the reason sealed.
Put the stamp down and stop in front of the mic.
Here we go.
Took the game over. We home now. We soldiers.
Griff, Mathurin, and Q, the podcast. You can't hold us.
Y'all heard the word. Y'all heard the word.
Griff, Mathurin, and Q, yeah, we on a verse. So diverse, with no rehearse, that's how we work. Authentic when we give it, if we said it, then we meant it. Not to be confused with other people's views. They get it how they get it, and we get it how we do. Look, homie, this is a whole different game. We got a whole different aim, we in a whole different lane. Yeah.
We know the reason's unsealed. This my everyday life.
We know the reads unsealed.
Every day I hustle out here living it right.
We know the reads unsealed.
Put the stamp down and step in front of the mic.
Took the game over, we home now, we soldiers.
Riff Master in the queue, the podcast, you can't hold us.
We know the reads unsealed.
Every day I hustle out here living it right.
We know the reads unsealed.
This my everyday life.